How do you stay anchored to your God-given dream without life just getting in the way?
My hope is not even in my dream. The dream is not the end game. The dream is walking with Jesus every day.
Well, hey girls, welcome to Braveheart Talks. I'm so glad that you've tuned in today. And I really believe that you're going to find this conversation really inspirational and helpful to you in your walk, because today we're going to be looking at the topic of fulfilling a God-given dream. How do you know if a dream is from God? How do you know if you are pursuing, or what you're pursuing in your life is the things of God? And as I was really pondering on this particular topic, I could not help but think about my friend Noelle Miller, who is joining us today online, because I'm going to ask her the questions today, because I've watched her life for a long, long time. And I think if anybody is walking this out in reality right now, it is her. And so before I introduce you to Noelle, just let me give you a little bit of a backstory. I think we've known each other for well over a decade now. And I first got to know her and her husband, Kevin, from the USA, and have watched them be youth leaders. I have watched them run colleges and do mission trips and everything in between. But there was a significant change in their world because they began to feel God speak to them in a very different way. And they have actually uprooted, moved across the ocean, and have planted a church in Toulouse in France. So, Noelle, thank you for being on this podcast with us today. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. I think anytime you spend time with Emma Bryant, your life is different. So I'm ready. I'm ready to receive today. No, it's an honor. It's an honor to be here for sure. So,
well, we're excited to hear what you've got to say, because we are just talking about this whole idea of God-given dreams. And I think as women, I'm a dreamer in the natural. I'm a daydreamer. So I have ideas. I find it hard to concentrate because my mind is always off chasing other ideas. I dream naturally. When I go to bed at night, I dream. But I also believe that God gives us dreams in our heart. That is part of the reason why we exist, and that we're to follow those callings. So if I go back 10 years into your life, and when I first met you, you and Kevin, you just looked like this couple that had it all together. You were in a fabulous church. You had a ministry that was flourishing. And then fast forward a couple more years, you take this really hard left turn and decide you're going to move all the way across the pond and plant a church in France. And I can remember actually when we had that conversation with you, and I couldn't get my head around it. I was like, why France? That means you've got to like learn a whole new language. So I just wonder, can you share with us a little bit about the moment that was a penny drop moment when you as a couple decided, yeah, okay, we believe this is a God thing and this is what we need to do with our life?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I don't know. No, I'm kidding. No. So I specifically remember, so we originally are from the South in the US. And so we had to make a decision to follow what we felt like was the call of God in our life to move to Chicago, or north of Chicago, Milwaukee area. And then we had a decision made to go to Europe. And I think sometimes that time in your life where you feel God kind of calling you into a new space, a new direction, if you will, it can happen in a lot of different ways. You know, I think for us, one, we had that clear God speaking to us, this is the moment, you know, move to Milwaukee, which you need to go to Milwaukee. But I think fast forwarding to the decision to uproot, like you're saying, uproot everything with the kids and all of that to come to Europe, it felt like an invitation. I think when you are, like you're saying, designed to dream, when you are created in the likeness and image of your father, it is as if he's inviting you to dream a different dream. And that's what it felt like for us. It was an invitation. It was something that was on our heart. And it felt like our heavenly father was like, okay, let's go dream together,
Wow.
in that space. And so, yeah, that led us to Brussels, where we worked with a nonprofit there. But I remember specifically in thinking about church planting and all, we worked at the church. We felt like, okay, our season at working in a church is over. We're ready to, move into nonprofit work. And we had a lunch meeting with an old pastor in Florida, actually. And I remember him looking at us saying, this move to Brussels is just getting you in the door to do what it is that God's put in, birthed in you to
Wow.
do in your heart, which is the plant of church. And we were like, oh, like what a cute old man. Like, really
Wow.
sweet, but not us. And so I think, but that's the way that I think God begins to create that dream in your heart, is that in fact he's knitted you in a way to open your life up to one big dream. And so whether that's, that next step for us was going to Brussels, and then from there God began to work in heart to do a church and to get back into the church. And then yeah, to eventually plant a church here in Toulouse.
Wow, you've just said something there that's just so profound. You just described a God-given dream as like an invitation from God, and I've never heard that before. I think that's such a beautiful way of looking at it. Like it's God inviting us to step up and step out into the unknown, because that's always what it is with a dream from God. And so you said you're obviously used to moving around a little bit and used to hearing that nudge from God. And so the first move was from the south into to Milwaukee, and that was a definitive. And the next that you felt that season coming to an end and that God was going to take you overseas, and you're working in this nonprofit organization, and then this guy speaks into your world, which is absolutely incredible. I think my question would be, so how do you know when something is, what's the difference, do you think, between having a good idea and knowing it's God's idea for you? Or do you think it's you just have to push on all doors and what is of God becomes, do you know what I mean? Like, how do you know if it's
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
my ideas or if it's a real God nudging?
Yeah, and don't you feel like that's where faith comes in? Is that when we take steps of faith, do we ever really know? And that's exactly what it takes, is that, you don't know if you have faith until you have an opportunity to use faith. You
Absolutely,
don't know if
absolutely.
you have patience until you have children, and then they become teenagers, and then they're like, oh, I do have patience. Look at that.
Yes.
Like you need that opportunity
Yeah.
to exercise that faith. And so, for that particular instant, for example, it was such a that sweet old man speaking that into our lives. And then a few months later, we had another person say to us, hey, we really think you should pray about planting a church. And it just continues to come. God is so gentle in that way, isn't he? Where it's like, hey, I'm inviting you to dream this with me if you're interested, like call me. And so it's like this invitation. And so Kevin and I, we took 90 days to pray about it. And Kevin literally, my husband, would like do the like a line every day he prayed about it. It's like, we're not planning a church. We're not planning a church. Each line more defiant. And I think to speak to whether it's just, a good idea or maybe a God idea, often it's in those moments of intimacy where God begins to build something in you, to fortify something in you, because I believe often that the invitations that we have to dream with God are not so much about advancing his kingdom, because he can do that. He doesn't need us to do that. He uses us to do it. It's a privilege that we have.
That's
It's
right.
more about drawing us into an intimacy with him and being more intimate with our heavenly Father. And so I think that a good start to understanding, is this just a good idea or a God idea, is to submit it to prayer and intimacy with Father and draw close to God in it. And it didn't take the 90 days for us to be like, oh, okay, yeah, we feel like this is, the next step for us, a dream that God's putting in our heart.
That's brilliant. And I love the fact that you took those 90 days because I think that's the first hurdle many fall at is just allowing God the time or allowing us the time to come into alignment with God. We think if I've asked him one day and he's not answered it by the next day, then I'm just going to presume it's a no. And then we move on. And I wonder how many God opportunities we actually miss out on because we
So
don't
good.
take the time. So here's just a question. Did you set a 90-day target, or was it just after 90 days you began to get this revelation of this is it for us?
No, we literally set 90 days.
Okay.
We were like, for 90 days, we're going to do this. It didn't take the full 90 days for us to start to feel this way and to really kind of open our heart, but we started that time frame with, we're not doing this. Like, we're just going to honor this person in our life because he's older than us. He seemed really wise. You know, those kind of people that come into your life, like, oh, we're going to honor him because one day we're going to be old and we want people to honor us. So we're going to sow good seeds to old people. And so we begin to kind of do that and walk that out in our lives. And it's funny how God can use those moments to speak to us.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is so true. And he uses people, doesn't he, to confirm something that's already brewing. I mean, my personal experience of God taking me into something and trying to decide whether it was a dream or an idea I had or something of God, it's usually the something of God is not something I could have come up with because I never
Yeah,
would
for
have
sure.
thought I could do a whatever it is he's asking me to do.
Absolutely.
So my initial thing is the idea comes and I would want to run from it. I don't
Yeah.
want to run to it, you know, but hence taking the time to pray because what God is doing in that time is bringing you into alignment. And also as well, you
Wow.
know, you have got two boys, two gorgeous boys, two up and coming teenagers, London and Ezra, just got the best names on the planet. And so when we get God-given dreams as parents, it's not just about us. We're taking the whole
Right.
family on this journey as well. And so your
For sure.
children had to move countries and your children had to,
Yeah.
you know, and then you start to feel the I'm going to use the word burden, but you know what I mean? You start to then see it through the lens of your children. So they are now going to school in a different country. They're having to learn the different language. You're having to learn a completely different language so you can
Yeah.
communicate with people.
On a good day.
And you've done very, very well. You've done amazing. I can still say bonjour and au revoir. That's about it.
They're needed. You need those. Ooh, les toilettes. Those are important too.
You know, it's. I think my question is, everyday life is still happening. So you've
Yeah.
taken this huge step, and not for all of us, it won't be like I didn't have to move country to pursue my God-given callings, but I had to take huge steps of faith in other
Yeah.
areas,
Yep.
and it affected my entire family. And so you're still checking in on your kids, and you're still trying to work a job because finances need to come in, and you're running a home as well as taking care of
Yeah.
yourself. And now you're not stepping into a ready-made church. You've got to start building something from scratch. So it's like, how do you stay anchored to your God-given dream without life just getting in the way? Because you're going to have moments of despair when only three people show up, or you're going to have moments of frustration when your child is upset or they're longing for the life that was. How do you stay true to that God-given dream, Noelle, when it just feels like life gets in the way?
A great question, and I feel like I'm probably in the process of still figuring that out. Aren't we all? And I think that for us, you know, I could tell stories of our first early days in France where I'm dropping my kids off at school and they are being peeled off the gates, crying and screaming, and I have to go home and sit and be like, what am I doing? Like, what is this for? I'm traumatizing your children, you know, all of these things. And I had a friend kind of counsel me through this moment, and she was like, you know, Your children also need opportunities to understand who God is. Your children need opportunities to see what it's like to be committed to a dream, to being obedient to your father, to the, your children need that as well. And they need opportunities for that to become real to them. And so I think whether it's the difficulties of following after after a dream, whether it's, you know, my babies who I am like fiercely loyal and protective over and watching, you know, just knowing, okay, God, I know your word says that challenges, they produce perseverance in us, and perseverance, it produces character, and character, hope. And
That's
that
right.
hope does not fail. And so this promise, this dream that you've given us to be in this space and to live our lives open to seeing you do something here, I know that in my children and in my hard days, that you're producing something in me that's not, that it's the quality of my maintaining, the quality of me resting in difficult times in this dream that's going to produce character, not only in me, but in my children and in my husband and in the people around me. And thank you, God, for the opportunity to produce a character in me, the hope, because I ultimately know that my hope isn't in my abilities. My hope is not in my circumstances. It's not in good church days where it's full and it's like, wow. And my hope is also not in low days where, like, what are we doing? I can't get a single word out of my mouth in French, where I've embarrassed myself a thousand times. And, but my hope is not in any of that. My hope is in Jesus. My hope is not even in my dream.
So
Like, the
good.
dream is not the end game. The dream is walking with Jesus every day. And it's pursuing that dream in my life, but ultimately it's pursuing Jesus. I know that that hope, it never fails. It doesn't miss the mark of what it is that we're actually trying to accomplish. And so yeah, I think that difficult times in our lives help us produce that character in us. But I also think mundane can also distract us from a dream. I think that good can distract us from God as well, in that pursuit. And so being committed to walking with Jesus every day, and humbling ourselves before him so that we aren't distracted by good, mundane, or bad, but that we're committed to God.
And you've literally just dropped some wisdom bombs in there that I just want to reflect on for a moment, because I think that when you started off just by saying that about talking about perseverance, and especially when you're seeing it outworked in your children, I mean, nothing makes us want to ab abort mission more than the pull of our children. When we see how a decision we've made is affecting the children and what you saw their difficulties at going to school, if you perceived it as bad or negative, you'd have just taken them kids and gone straight back to America. But you didn't. You were like, if God has called us here, this is what perseverance looks like. As a family, we're going to walk through some tough times, but it's going to build us, it's going to shape us, it's going to shape us into the perfect shape that God needs for us to fit into, this hole that God has created for us to fit into. You know, our piece of the puzzle right now is to outwork our faith and the expression of Jesus in France. It's a bit like when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and it there's a scripture, doesn't it? And it talks about how God chose to take them the long way around through the desert. It should have taken them days to get to Canaan, but instead they were 40 years, because though they'd come out of Egypt, it took a long time for Egypt to get out of them. And in the same way, it's like we have got to go through this time of testing and perseverance to make sure that we're fit to walk into the calling. So I love the fact that you were able to see Jesus even through what you could see as being a painful season for your children. You know, it has grown you all. And I think that's such a beautiful, beautiful way of looking at it and not being fearful of it. That's amazing. And I think also what you said there, go on.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that there's a story in the Bible that I love much, and it's where one of the prophets shows up to a house of this couple, and they take him in, they take care of him, and the prophet says to them, "How can I like bless you for what you've done?" And he's like, "I see you don't have any children. I'm going to pray, and God will give you a child." God gives a child for them. The child later dies, and I love what the mom does. Like, I just feel like maybe we're going to be best friends. Like, I don't know who she is, but we're going to be like, me and her are going to be close. She takes her dead son to the prophet and she's like, "This is your problem, not mine. You gave me this dream, and now you're gonna raise this dream from the dead. You're gonna bring this my son back to life." And I think oftentimes when we're walking through those hard times is we forget where our faith is. We forget that our hope is in Christ Jesus. Our hope it if my kids, whatever may happen with my kids, I'm going to take my kids back, God, and say, "These babies are yours.
Brilliant.
They're your problem.
Love
You
it.
know, this teenage Lord, like this
Yeah.
teenager, he is your problem, you
Yeah.
know?"
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
but I think all of that, it's like that woman to have that tenacity to say, no, God, you gave me this dream. You gave our family this dream for whatever it may be. This is your dream, not
Yeah.
mine." And so, God, whatever may come, it's going to produce something in me that's going to help me to live a life that reflects you more to the people I love and in the city that that I'm in, or whatever field of work you may find yourself in. I think it's important to remember in difficult times where the source of your dream came from.
I love that. That's so
But yeah.
important. And you even said, it's not about the dream is that we get to walk it out every day with Jesus. The dream is not like an end goal. It's not the building of the church or the gathering of the people or whatever the dream might be. For somebody, it might be setting up a business or, starting a new
Yeah.
initiative. That's not the dream, is that you will get to walk every day out with Jesus. And as you do that, he just begins to open doorways of untold possibilities. And I absolutely
Yeah.
love that image. So there's also the importance, I believe, of the right timing in God. And
Let's
honestly,
talk about it.
I can bear witness to this in my own life just so many times where I am like, "Oh, was that you, God? Okay, I need to do this now. Like, now we need to
Let's
do it."
go.
It's like, and
Yeah.
if I don't do it now, then I'm going to have missed God in my life. And so, even just going back to the beginning where you said you prayed for 90 days, there's, that's such wisdom in that, because I think when God gives you an idea, it doesn't ever go away. It keeps sort of gnawing away at you. But the Bible tells us that there is a time for everything. There's a time to plant and a time to reap. And so when we look at this in our own lives, there is a rhythm that we have to get into with God. And we have to find that rhythm, because anytime that we are out of rhythm with him, even doing the right thing becomes the wrong thing when it's done outside of God's timing. And so how do
Yeah.
you navigate that? How do you assess when you believe it is God's timing on your life to do whatever it is, the dream in your heart, to make the move, to start the church, to do the thing? How do you see God's timing?
This is a really great question. I feel like for me personally, this is a hard one. This was like, all right, I got to figure this, like it's something that I'm in process of figuring out myself. I feel personality, I am like all or nothing. We're gonna go get it or we're not. Like big, kind of there's no in between. There's no like, I think being here in France, to be honest with you, is like God's humor of the way everything and how slow things take here and how long it takes you to get internet and how long it takes you to get a couch
Can't
and how long,
take
I mean, it's
America
just
out the
like,
girl.
oh man, I need to keep walking around, right? It's trying to take me, but I
You
got to get
can't,
Egypt
yeah.
out of me because it is just amazing to me. But it's such a reflection of what you're saying is yeah, timing is so important. And for me, I think what timing boils down to is control. I think it's my ability to want to control the pace at which I walk with God. I want to control how fast we go, how slow we go. I'm incredibly competitive And I was the other day, I love to run, and this speed walker passed me, and I've got like numbers I like to hit and stuff like that. And this speed walker, he's speed walking, and he passed, and I'm running, and I'm like, oh heck no. And I like take off. I'm like competing against this speed walker. I'm like, really, Noelle? Like, what's happening? And so I think the competitiveness in me, but also just in all of the ability, we see something in part, we see something in whole, or we get so excited to do something with God that we just begin to run and run and run and run. And I think that the invitation for us in life, when it comes to pursuing a dream, when it comes to walking with God, is to really discover the pace at which God is walking right now. What is the pace that God would have me walk at with Him in this? And I think that, again, I think being in prayer, being in intimacy with God, it's important, but also I think that's where community comes in. I think that that's such the beauty of having people around you, whether you are dreaming for a business or a church or your house or whatever it may, like your household, whatever that may be, that's where community is so important, because I think when people get around you, you can run at a pace that will burn you out. And then what are you gonna do? And seeing my community, God speaks to us and He talks to us and He encourages us through the community we put ourselves around. And so I think the ability to, yes, we can try and figure out that pace ourselves, but also we can humble ourselves and submit ourselves to a community that would say, here's where I'm at, here's what I'm thinking, where's some wisdom in this? And I think that on a practical level, that's really helpful to submit yourself to community in the process of dreaming.
Yeah, that's actually that's a great answer. And even just as you're speaking, there's a proverb that comes to mind, and I can't actually remember where the proverb is, but I can find it. But it just talks about wisdom being found in the counsel and the company of many. And it really what it's talking about is just not going off on your own bat and trying to be an initiator all by yourself, but get around. God's put people around us. Like you said, this elderly gentleman who spoke to you guys, it's not that he was just a random somebody. He was a man of God that you respected, and at that moment he was the voice piece of God. And had he not said that, it might not have triggered that was the spark that kind of got the dream going. And so even along your journey, it's always important, I think, that you look at who you're surrounding yourself with, and always
So good.
surround yourself with people that you that are going to pull you up rather than pull you down. And finding people, because there's always going to be those voices. And you will have had the voices in your life like I've had in mine. And good people, people who love you and people who mean well, but they say things like, oh, I think you're mad. What are you doing that for? You don't like, oh, this is foolishness. You don't want to be doing that. You're never going to have any money. You never, and it's all the negative naysayers. And these are people that they mean well, but you really have to go and find relationship and friendship intentionally. And often people that are slightly above you, who you aspire I kind of want to be able to pull myself up to them rather than just keep being pulled down to here. And so yeah, and they're the ones who are going to help you find your rhythm and find your timing in God. And I just
Absolutely.
think that the timing is so valuable. It's so important.
For sure.
Because, if you think about the way God did everything to time, to time, to time, and even the world, it pivots on its axle to time. And if that timing was a millisecond out of time, then we'd all fly off the face of the earth. So that's how important timing is to God. And so I never want to, get my dream wrong, because I am not in sync with his timing.
And I think that one thing that was really important and is important, continually important for me, is understanding that waiting is never wasted when you're waiting on God.
Yeah,
That
so good.
waiting
So good.
in a season, God uses that time. Just because we don't see something happen or it's not
Yeah.
moving at the pace that we would want, it's not wasted time because God is using that in us to either do something in us or do something in the moment. And I think about all of the timing pieces of things that have happened along our journey. There's so many things that we could talk about with delays and all of that. In our journey, we adopted both of our boys, and in our youngest adoption, it delayed our move to Europe by a year, almost a year. And in that process, so we planted the church here in Toulouse with a couple named Manu and Lorraine Bolamik. And in that year, while we were waiting on Ezra's adoption, they were moving to Calais, France, which is where we actually met then. And so if we would have moved at the timing that we wanted and done our process, we would have never met this couple, and then this being the couple that we now have planted this church with. And so many times, so many pieces of different steps in your dream, you can look back and see where God was using that time to do something in you. And it's never wasted. And so I know for someone, if someone is like me, and if I'm in a slower season where I don't feel like, I can feel like, oh, I'm wasting away, God. Like, what's happening? And in fact, it's never wasted when it's waiting on God, and his direction. And so I just think it's something important to take note of.
Yeah, I love something that you've said there, and it's just something that you've touched on, and I'm just gonna make mention of it. But you did adopt your two sons from being little tiny babies, and we have seen the whole journey from start to where we're up to right now. And I mean, I just want to go on record, and I want to commend you, and I want to celebrate you, because how many women in the natural would put all of their time and attention into that and just go, that's all I want in life, and not actually walk out the rest of the journey, what God had for them. And I think it's such a beautiful picture that God had these two babies. And he also had this couple, but he also had a plan. And so the goal was not just, I just want to be a mum. And there's nothing wrong, by the way, with just being a mum. But I just think you kept your mind open, you kept your prayer life before God, and you were like, look, God, I want to adopt these babies, but whatever my life looks like, they're going to be part of the journey. And so I just, like I said, just want to really just put that out there and say, amazing and well done, you girlfriend, because you didn't just go like, this is me now fulfilled. I'm a mom. You were like, okay, now I've got to navigate motherhood. Baby number one, baby number two. Oh, right. What we're still running in the mission field. We're still going. Oh, what we're moving countries. So I'm going to have no natural support around me, no natural family. All the friends that I know, every reason that could have been given to you to stay where you were like, do you know what? If my God is for me, then who can be against me? Like, I got my kids, I got my husband, let's go. And you mentioned about Manu and her name's just
Lauren,
Loren. Loren. I kept saying, wanted to say Laurent. Loren, Manu and Laurent. And you know what? We have met them several times, seen you lot as couples together. It's not just two couples that God brought in alignment. He's literally dovetailed you together, and it's just an absolutely beautiful story that only God could create and bring together. It's inspiring. But just let me ask you this question. You seem to look at obstacles like hurdles. Like, I think some of us would run to an obstacle, and I'm doing this because I'm thinking of you now with your kids under your arms, and I'm like, you would run and come up against an obstacle, and many of us would just stop, and we were like, go, okay, there's a wall there, I can't get through it, I can't get around it. It means it mustn't be for me. Like, this is too hard with what I'm already carrying. But what I know from you is you look at an obstacle as a hurdle, and you've already said you're a runner. And I'm like, I just think you run at an obstacle and you are like, okay, I need to pick up more speed because I've got to get over that. And so just talk to us a little bit about what it looks like when obstacles come in our way. How do we get over them? and not be defined or defied by them.
Yeah, I think that I'm naturally stubborn. You heard it here first, but never admit it anywhere else, especially to my father or my husband. I am very stubborn person. And for me, I just, to be honest with you, I think God's yes is his yes. And when we arrive to obstacles in our life, it's an opportunity, and we have a choice in the way that we perceive obstacles. I do believe in like in reality, we must define. I don't believe that we just, oh, everything's so wonderful, and yes, let's just keep going and we'll just ignore it and swipe it. No, you have to understand what it is in front of you, identify it in a real way. I tell my boys this all the time, you know, they're wanting to build muscles, and we're in that season of life where we stand a little bit longer in front of the mirror, you know, we're like, you know, trying to like flex on it. And we talk about a lot, the way that you build muscle in your life is resistance. The way that you build muscle is how you handle pressure.
Very
And so I
good.
think the way that when we walk with obstacles in our lives, it's the way we receive those things that make us stronger. And so instead of looking at an obstacle as a stop or as a difficulty in your life, what if you looked at it as an opportunity to redefine how you see God? What if it, instead of something that would hold you back, what if it's an opportunity for God to do something miraculous in your life? And if we hold on to faith, the faith again, I feel like I've repeated this a little too much, but it's so important. It's not faith in myself. It's faith in my God. And if I arrive to an obstacle, God's either going to get me over it or it's my time to go home. And, you know, we'll figure it out either way, you know, kind of deal. And so it's like, I maybe just, I feel like I'm maybe more God ha and again, it's something that you ask for, you pray for, you ask God, give me eyes to see, give me ears to hear what it is that you want me to see. What did you want me to hear? Because this is not defining me, whatever it may be, if it's this or that or whatever. But I also think that it's not about compartmentalizing our life as well. I think that, you know, a hurdle here, that if it's a block here in this world, it doesn't mean that I can't pivot and change. And I'm not going to be someone that doesn't have the opportunity to pivot. And I think we all do. We have the grace of God in life. We're given the gift of a new day. His mercies are new for us every day, meaning that today may be difficult and today may be hard and it may be a block, but tomorrow, and if I'm given the gift of tomorrow, that means I'm given the gift of mercy and the ability to take a deep breath and try again, and see what God can do with that.
That's amazing. And the obstacles are there often because as well, I think God wants to show his miraculous. And unless there's an obstacle, how will we ever see the miraculous? And you know, so Moses stands at the water's edge and looks at an impossible situation. That's a problem. That's a blockage. That's, you know, and God says, well, you stay there, don't abort mission, just stay there, and I will do the impossible. In the children at the walls of Jericho, it's an impossible situation. And God says, well, just don't abort the mission, just circle around your problem, and I will bring the problem down. And so I love that picture that you're just giving us there, where, you know, you can.
I think a lot about Peter as well, like Peter on the boat where he's getting out to walk on water. And the way that I see it is like, I don't want to be someone who sees a gap between me and the miraculous and stay on the boat. Like every one of those disciples had the opportunity to look at the storm, to look at the situation and say, I want to get out, walk on water with my God. And I refuse to be someone who stays in the boat,
Very
whether
good.
I fall, whether
Very
it's
good.
crazy, whether, you know, Jesus
Not
reaches down his
staying.
hand and picks him up, and then he builds this church on him. And so it's like, we have opportunities
That's
to in
so
our
good.
life, and
I love it. I love it. So just as we wrap this whole thing up, what encouragement could you give to someone out there who's perhaps listening, who has maybe had that God-given dream and but they've just sat on it, they've done nothing with it, or they haven't felt like they've got the courage to go on with it, or how can we stay committed to the dream? Because when I look at your life, it was so how many years have you been in France now?
And a half. It'll be 4 in August.
Okay, so 4 years in France, and then you have done the whole praying situation before then. I mean, there's just been a journey of commitment. There's something about being steadfast and staying in it, even when it feels like God is silent and it's not happening. But what sort of pearls of wisdom could you give to someone who is maybe struggling to stay hanging on and saying, no, I believe this is what God wants for me, and I believe he's going to come through?
One thing I think is that we live in a world and in a culture that's like a microwave culture, and we want to put things. Is a microwave a thing in England?
Yes,
Thank you. I have a
yes.
microwave. I never know culturally where I am. So,
No, we are
as
up to
long
scratch with our modern technology. We have microwaves.
as I don't know if they're called something else. I don't know. There's always an interesting name for kitchen appliances, but whatever. So we live in a generation. And a microwave generation where we want to put the seed that God has put in our life in a microwave and expect an instantaneous result. And I think that what God invites us to is to live in a garden as opposed to a greenhouse with his ability to put seeds in our lives and dreams in our lives. And I think that, whereas you have a greenhouse where you everything's controlled. It's in a controlled environment. You put the seed in the pot and the plant grows as big as the pot will allow it to be, but it's controlled. There's no wind, there's no rain, there's everything is controlled. And when you see growth, but what I think that God wants to do in us in seasons where maybe we're afraid to take that next step in our dream or we're afraid to weather a storm is that God invites us to live in a garden. Where there is no
Yes.
pot that can control the size of our dream, where
Yeah.
God is in control of the weather, the wind, the difficulties that we face, but we have the ability to be with our gardener in our life and take steps with our gardener. And whatever that is, whatever that outcome may be, I can weather a storm because I'm weathering it with Jesus. I can grow in ways that I never even imagined. I also think that when it comes to dreaming, the Bible is very clear that God can do more than we can ever ask, think, or imagine. But what happens if you never imagine? What
Yes.
happens if you never dream? Then God can't exceed it.
So
So
good.
challenge God. Dream big, like dream bigger. And you can't do that in the control of a microwave generation. You
So good.
cannot allow God to exceed expectations when you expect rapid growth in your life, when God is wanting to do something deep and profound in your life. But it's going to be in the context of a garden instead of a greenhouse. So allow God to, walk with you through weathering time and see what he can do. Dream bigger.
Yeah.
I think if you're stuck, dream bigger.
Love it. I absolutely love that concept. And I love the imagery there, the greenhouse or the garden. And God is the God of the garden, right? And yeah, dream bigger. We get one shot at life. It's not a dress rehearsal. This is it. This is our life. And so we've all got to do the best with what we've got to do. And honestly, I think we are so limited in our thinking. But when you get with God, God can expand your imagination and your creativity and your possibilities in ways that we could not just on our own. Noelle, I've absolutely loved this conversation. Thank you so much for hopping on to Braveheart Talks and chatting with us today, all things talking about bringing out the reality of a God dream, making it a possibility. And girls, you know that conference is coming May 16th and 17th at the Liverpool Arena. And we cannot wait for this year's Braveheart because it actually is centered around daring to dream. What are the possibilities looking like for your life? We want you to join us in May and we look forward to seeing you then. But until next time on Braveheart Talks.